creation, we face only wrath because we cannot obey the law perfectly. That is why it says, for the law brings wrath. Yet when God counts our faith as righteousness, our transgressions, that's another word for sin, are not counted against us. That's why it says, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. Our transgressions are forgiven if we're trusting in God through faith. So therefore, there is no transgression to be counted against us when there's no law, when we're not trying to obey the law. Number two, that is why our salvation in Christ depends on faith, because only through grace can the promises of God be fulfilled for all those who share the faith of Abraham. Number two, that is why our salvation in Christ depends on faith, because only through grace can the promises of God be fulfilled for all those who share the faith of Abraham. The promise must rest on grace, it says in verse 16, and be guaranteed to all the offspring of Abraham. Because the ones who share the faith of Abraham also share the inheritance of his promise, of the promises that were made to him. And thus, Abraham is the father of everyone who has faith and trust in God to keep his promises. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. God gives life to the dead. He calls into existence the things that do not exist. He just speaks and things come into existence. That is how the world was created. Not through this process of evolution, which took billions and billions of years. No, God spoke. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke, and planets existed. It was God can just create something from nothing. All he needs to do is speak. God had promised to Abraham that he had already made him the father of many nations. Before Abraham could see it, he made him the father of many nations. Abraham would not see this during his lifetime, yet Abraham had trust in God's promise because he was in his almighty presence. It says that he was in the presence of the God in whom he believed. And being in his presence was enough to know that God could keep his promise. He believed in God because he knew who God was and what he was capable of. So how do we define faith? What is this faith that Abraham had? Well, Hebrews 11:1 gives us a definition. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is being convicted that even though we cannot see with our eyes what God has promised through his word, the fact that he has promised it is enough to know that he will provide. It's the conviction of things not seen. We can't see it yet, but we believe it because God himself has promised it to us. Number three, faith is having full assurance or trusting completely that God is willing and able to provide what he promises. Number three, faith is having full assurance, trusting completely that God is willing and able to provide what he promises. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. That means it's a trust in our heart that we know that God is willing and able to provide the things that he promises to us. We're assured. We know. Because we know God, we know he's able, we know he will, and that he has already done the promise because it is good as done, because he's made it. Hebrews 11:3 elaborates. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen it was not made out of things that are visible. The universe didn't come to be as it is because there were things, and those things that were visible were made things afterwards. That's how we think about that. Usually that's the scientific process that takes place. There'll be something, a cell or whatever, and that cell will replicate and turn into an animal or a human being. No, what this is saying is the universe, what was seen, was made out of things that are invisible, meaning God called them into existence with his word, and what was invisible, what could not be seen, suddenly could be seen. Abraham believed that God has the power to call into existence the things that do not exist. Through faith, he understood that God had created the world from nothing through his powerful word. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. That is what Hebrews 11:3 tells us. Hebrews 11:17 through 19 elaborates Abraham's faith and what he knew about God when it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son. So Abraham was called to the mountain, and God had called him to bring his only son, the very son that God had promised would be the heir. And Abraham brought him, and Abraham knew that God was asking him to take his son onto the mountain and sacrifice him as a human sacrifice. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son. He raised the knife, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This was the promise that God had made. His son was the promise, but he could not be the heir if he was dead. Yet Abraham offered him up to God, willing to kill him. Abraham considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back, who gives life to the dead, it says in Romans 4:17. So Abraham knew that even if God provided no escape from the death of his son, Abraham believed that God has the power to give life to the dead. After Isaac had been born, through faith, Abraham was even willing to offer up his only son as a sacrifice, killing his only physical chance to receive the promises that God had made beforehand. He trusted that if God desired, he would raise Isaac back from the dead after Abraham had killed him. But Isaac didn't die that day because God provided a substitute. And this is a picture. When that ram was in the thicket and the ram was killed instead of his son Isaac, this is a picture of what happened at the cross. there was a death of a human sacrifice, and his name was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ stood in the place, received the punishment for everyone who would trust in him. His perfect life that he had lived without sin was enough to prepare him for that propitiation, that sacrifice where he took the wrath of God on himself in our place if we're trusting in him. This is the promise of God come to be, Jesus Christ. Romans 4, verses 18 and 19 goes on. In hope, Abraham believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he'd been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Abraham, in hope, his hope being in God, his God, he believed against hope, because the hope that he had in the physical realm was bleak. His body was as good as dead. He was a very old man. And his wife, Sarah, had been barren all her life. And now she was old and barren. There was no hope there. But he believed against that hope, in the hope that he had in God, that God could fulfill his promise. Abraham believed in the promises of God, even though he could not see how God could physically fulfill his promises. He hoped in God even against the lack of hope in his circumstances. We see in Hebrews 11, again, verses 11 and 12, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, the power of God to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. This is a reflection of another birth that seemed impossible, because the Virgin Mary conceived. Yet Sarah knew that she could not conceive because she was too old. But she considered God faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. More than the stars of heaven, if you could count them, the millions, the billions of stars in the heaven. The grains of sand by the seashore. Surely if there's any way to count the stars, you could not count the grains of sand by the seashore. Yet these are the descendants of Abraham through faith. All his descendants came through faith in the promises of God, and ultimately in the salvation bought by Jesus Christ. Even though Abraham's body was almost dead at his age of 100, and Sarah's womb had been long barren, Abraham did not weaken in faith that God would provide him with an heir, because he knew that God was willing and able to fulfill his promises. Romans 4, verses 20 and 21. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Number four, no matter what circumstances Abraham faced, he ultimately did not waver in his faith when it came to God's promises. Knowing the God he trusted in, he grew strong in his faith, totally and completely convinced that God was willing and able to do what he had promised. Number four, no matter what circumstances Abraham faced, he ultimately did not waver in his faith when it came to God's promises. Knowing the God he trusted in, he grew strong in his faith, totally and completely convinced that God was willing and able to do what he had promised. There's a great book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God, and it's known to be one of the great theological classics, because the idea of knowing God means that we can trust his promises. For if we know him, we know that he is sure never to lie. And we know him, we know that he is powerful and he has the ultimate authority in the universe. We know that he is willing and able to keep his promises. So when we pray, if we're praying according to his word, meditating on his word and praying in line with his word, we know that he's willing because he says it in his word, and we know that he's able to respond to our prayers because he is powerful and he has authority. And when we grow strong in our faith, as it says in verse 20, we give glory to God because we are trusting in him and not ourselves. We can be fully convinced that God is able to do what he has promised. Romans 4, 22 to 25. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness, a quote of the Old Testament there. But the words "it was counted to him" were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. God granted Abraham righteousness through his faith in him. It was not because of works. There was nothing that Abraham did that earned the righteousness of God. Instead, it was through his faith, which is merely trust in the heart. It's conviction that God can do what he says he will do. He did this not only for Abraham's sake, but for our sake, so that we might follow in Abraham's footsteps and receive the righteousness of Christ through faith in him as well. We who believe in God, who raised Jesus from the dead, just as Abraham knew that God could raise Isaac from the dead, who was delivered up for our trespasses. Christ was delivered up to take the punishment for our sin, if we would just trust him for it. Delivered up for our trespasses on the cross and raised for our justification. When Jesus was raised, that was proof that God had indeed justified all who would trust in him. Justified, once again, means that we are made righteous. We receive Christ's perfect righteousness as our own when he was raised for our justification. Number five, anyone who will believe in God, who raised Jesus from the dead, delivered him up for our sins, and raised him for the sake of our justification, will receive the promises of God in full and the forgiveness of sins. Number five, anyone who will believe in God who raised Jesus from the dead, delivered him up for our sins, and raised him for the sake of our justification, will receive the promises of God in full and the forgiveness of sins. So just to say, we've sinned. We know that. The verse Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3 testify to the fact that we are all sinners under God. We've broken his law, and there's no hope in our circumstance alone because we have sinned against an infinitely holy God, and the infinite punishment of hell is what we deserve. We haven't loved God as we should. We haven't loved our neighbor as we should. We don't even love our closest neighbors, who we care about the most, the way that we should. We fail because of our sin. But Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. He had a righteousness that surpassed any righteousness because he never once sinned. He is fully God and he is fully man, and truly God and truly man, and he never once sinned. So we can receive that righteousness that he has as our own. But he didn't stop there. He went to the cross, suffered physically, terribly, bleeding on a cross, a crown of thorns in his head. But even more than that, he took the eternal hell, that punishment, on himself. God poured out his wrath on Jesus. He did that for us so that we might not have to receive that wrath when we repent and put our trust in Jesus. And then he was raised on the third day, as it says, for our justification and for our new spiritual life, so that we might have the Holy Spirit to come and live in our heart and change our life and cause us to obey God. And that we might have the promise that is already finished, that we will be glorified without sin, suffering, sickness, or anything else in heaven forever and ever. Will be with Jesus and God. We won't face hell. In fact, we'll face paradise, complete joy, happiness, grace forever and ever because of what Jesus has done and nothing that we have done. Application. Number one, come to terms with the reality that we cannot obey God's law perfectly and instead lean on Christ's work alone for the righteousness that we need. Number one, come to terms with the reality that we cannot obey God's law perfectly and instead lean on Christ's work alone for the righteousness that we need. Because we're sinners, we fail to keep God's law perfectly. And because of that, we deserve hell. But that's okay. It really is okay for the ones who will believe in Christ's work alone. It's not okay for those who won't. So here's just a short aside. We need to tell people and warn people of the coming judgment so that they might believe in Christ and trust in God's promise. Because it's their only hope, just as it's our only hope. Number two, examine the power of our God by filling ourselves with the treasures of his word, both in his promises and his ability to fulfill his promises. Grow strong in our faith that he is willing and able to do as he promises. Number two, examine the power of our God by filling ourselves with the treasures of his word, both in his promises and his ability to fulfill his promises. Grow strong in our faith that he is willing and able to do as he promises. Brothers and sisters, this book has hundreds, thousands, probably even tens of thousands of promises from God to us. In it, we know him. We know his power, the fact that he makes these promises and that he has the ability to fulfill these promises. The only way we're going to be strong in our faith and fully convinced as Abraham was, is to know these promises So we have to look at his word, or we won't know them, and then we'll have nothing to trust, and then our faith, or what we thought was our faith, will fail, and we won't be assured of receiving them. Number three, lift up to God our thankfulness in prayer for all of his faithfulness in his providence throughout our lives, and let our gratitude strengthen our trust in his future grace. Number three, lift up to God our thankfulness in prayer for all of his faithfulness in his providence throughout our lives, and let our gratitude strengthen our trust in his future grace. So let's go through this. I know this is a long sentence. So we should lift up to God our thankfulness. We should be grateful and thankful for everything that he does. We lift up our thankfulness in prayer. So today we're going to be talking about prayer in Sunday school. And we're going to be talking about meditating on the word of God before we pray, or while we pray. And so we lift up our thankfulness for his promises in here that we're meditating on. We lift them up in prayer. We pray to thank him for all of his faithfulness, meaning he is always faithful. He always does what he says he will. In his providence, meaning all the things that happen in our life, all the things that happen in the universe come together, and they are God's providence. He is in control of everything that happens. That's his providence. So we're thanking God in prayer for his faithfulness in his providence, meaning everything that happens, he's in control of it, throughout our lives, throughout the past, present, and even the future in our lives, his faithfulness in our lives. And then let our gratitude, the gratitude that we're cultivating through this thankfulness in prayer, strengthen our trust, which could also be said belief, faith, our trust in him, in his future grace. So meaning there's things he's going to do in the future to keep us that he has already promised that he will do. And those things are going to be his grace that we don't deserve. Our trust in his future grace that he promises to us to keep us through the circumstances in the future. So we lift up to God our thankfulness in prayer for all of his faithfulness in his providence throughout our lives, and let our gratitude strengthen our trust in his future grace. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, you are faithful. You have been faithful to me. I know, Father, I have seen your faithfulness in the lives of believers around me as well. Father, I have seen so numerous your answers to prayer. Father, you really do take care and keep your promises to those who believe in you, Father. And you are ultimately the one who causes our faith. As it says in Ephesians chapter 2, that faith is a gift, and this not of ourselves. It's a gift of grace, Father. You are the one who grants us repentance. It says that in the book of Acts, Father. We don't repent on our own. We don't believe or have faith on our own. But you loved us before we ever loved you, Father, it says in 1 John. Father, I just pray that you would strengthen the faith of those who hear this, Father, and I pray that you would create faith in the hearts of those who do not know you yet, Father. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.